of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be for good pleasure before thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our text today is taken from the book of Psalms and the 51st Psalm, the 17th verse. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. At this time of year, many people in the Christian world are observing Lent. During this period, leading up to Easter, people practice various forms of self-denial. They give up things that they enjoy, things that give them pleasure, and typically this includes such things as abstaining from eating rich or pleasant foods. The privations of Lent, of course, are simply a specific example of a more general form of the religious practice of sacrifice. Sacrifice may at first bring to mind the worship of God by the slaughtering of animals. And there does appear to be much focus on this in the early parts of Scripture. But these are clearly not the sacrifices of God that are spoken of in the text. So what is sacrifice in a more broad sense? It can, in fact, refer to a whole range of gifts, offerings, and dedications. The essential and common feature that unites all of these is the aspect of giving something up. The Christian church did not continue the practice of sacrificing animals, and indeed the early Christians understood the Lord to have set aside such worship, and they found the idea that God would be pleased with the killing and destruction of his own creatures as repugnant. And yet the Christian church did maintain various forms of offering and self-denial. Some, in fact, devoted their lives to renouncing as far as possible all the pleasures of this world. And many set aside certain times to practice some degree of the renunciation of the world, times such as Lent. Lent looks forward, of course, to the ultimate sacrifice made by the Lord. During Lent, Christians make sacrifices to acknowledge that the Lord laid down his life for us. And they then try to emulate this in some small measure with some sort of acknowledgement. People in the new church generally do not observe the season of Lent, but given the emphasis on sacrifice in the scriptures, is there a role for sacrifice or self-denial in some form in the new church? When the work Heaven and Hell informs us that the life that leads to heaven is not so difficult as some believe, it specifically is addressing the notion that one must renounce the things of this world in order to lead a spiritual life. One need not, we are told, discard all such worldly things, but rather that one receives spiritual life from the Lord by engaging in the things of this world and by leading a moral and civil life, practicing charity toward the neighbor, shunning evils as sins, and sincerely, justly, and faithfully doing the work of one's office. If we do these things, we need not renounce the world. So, does this mean we can overlook, ignore, or forget all the stories, the details, the laws concerning sacrifice in the Word? Even the words of some of the prophets of the Hebrew Scriptures might seem to encourage this attitude. Words such as those of Hosea: I will have mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. And yet, of course, there is nothing in the Word, no commandment however obscure, no statute however strange, that does not have within it, when understood spiritually, some message of significance for every one of us from the Lord. To understand the meaning of sacrifices, one must consider the more general significance of offerings or gifts to the Lord. Obviously, the gifts are not given, nor are they required by God, because they are things needed by the all-powerful, all-knowing God. Instead, making such offerings serve some function in us and for us. The idea of sacrifice suggests a special case of giving up or offering something that is dear to us, something with which we would part only unwillingly. One might imagine that the Lord calls upon us to give up such things because finding the will to do so builds character. But the Lord never makes arbitrary requests. So the things that we find ourselves called upon to give up are specified for a reason. Anytime we find ourselves giving something up merely for the sake of self-denial, we may be assured that we have missed some essential point. We need to be asking, why this thing? We should be concerned especially if we find ourselves making gestures of humility before God, while yet harboring resentment and ill will toward our neighbor. The Lord himself makes this point. He warns us that if we approach the holy altar with a gift for God, but still have issues with a brother, we need to attend to these first before we can make proper offerings to God. And the prophets of Israel had issued similar warnings many centuries before. Hath Yahuwah pleasure in burnt offerings and sacrifices? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In ancient times, people were attracted to the idea that it was enough to offer gifts to God in the form of animal sacrifices, and that by doing so, they could somehow evade responsibility for practicing a life of charity toward the neighbor. Even if it meant giving up valuable property, it could still feel preferable to making the genuine sacrifices of spirit. And so too then in the Christian era, even the dramatic renunciation of the things of this world can still mask an unwillingness to do the things that the Lord requires of us interiorly. On the one hand, it can be said that the life that leads to heaven is not so difficult because it does not mean becoming a religious hermit. On the other hand, it sometimes seems that the sacrifice that the Lord does require is the greatest sacrifice of all. Greater love hath no one than this, than that one lays down his life for his friends. The Lord himself, of course, made just such a sacrifice. But the magnitude of the sacrifice does not become fully apparent until we realize that the life of which the Lord speaks is not simply the life of the body. What the Lord actually speaks of is laying down one's soul for one's friends. But what does that mean? And how could it even be done? It is easier to see if we look to the Lord's example. The sacrifice that the Lord made on Good Friday was not simply enduring the agony of death on the cross. This was grim, and this was painful. But, to be honest, many people actually suffer more painful and lingering deaths. The true agony for the Lord was that by allowing the people freedom to turn away from him and kill him, he let go of that which he held most dear. The vision and hope for all of mankind. The Lord wants everyone in heaven, and to let anyone go to hell causes him grief and pain. This was the laying down, not just the life of the body, but in some sense laying down, letting go of his soul, his chief love, his chief goal. Or one could put it in the words of the text. It broke the Lord's heart to let people choose not to accept salvation. But this was a sacrifice that he was willing to make. The sacrifices of God, of course, refer to the sacrifices we make to God. But we could also turn it around and realize that they also could be taken as referring to the sacrifice that the Lord made for us. The Lord's goal. The Lord's end in creation, what he wants in one sense more than anything else, is a heaven from the human race. Now, if one believes that the end justifies the means, then the greatest goal would seem to justify any means. And yet the Lord would not employ the means of taking away human freedom. He guards our freedom as we guard the pupils of our eyes, it is said. And this to the point that he was willing to sacrifice what he loved most in order to preserve this freedom. Sometimes we find ourselves seemingly expected to make sacrifice of a similar magnitude. To give up our life in this world for others might seem like the ultimate sacrifice, and indeed it is a noble and dramatic deed when it is done. But sometimes what feels like an even greater sacrifice is the willingness to give up our souls, the life of our hopes, the abandonment of dreams. Parents sometimes will make such sacrifices for the sake of their children. And it may seem at times that we are called upon to make such sacrifices for the sake of our spouses or to preserve our marriages. Any time, really, that our own plans and aspirations conflict with those of others, the question arises of giving up or laying down at least a little of what feels like our souls. Now, it is not always appropriate or healthy to give in to the wishes of others, but when there are such potential conflicts, at these occasions, we may ask ourselves if there is a greater use to be served than simply getting our way, or even if our own way is genuinely the best approach. If we remember the Lord's example, being willing to set aside these kinds of great goals in order to preserve human freedom, perhaps we can cultivate in ourselves a willingness to allow for the freedom of others, even when it seems like forcing them or manipulating them to do our will would serve some great good. If the Lord is calling upon us sometimes to sacrifice our own good plans for the sake of promoting better relationships with others, so much the more so is he calling upon us to sacrifice our petty grudges and complaints that we may have with regard to others. When the Lord asks us to consider whether our brother hath aught against us, he may be asking us to redress injuries that we may have done to others. But he also may be asking us to forgive the injuries that we feel have been done to us. We may feel justified in feeling angry or hurt about things that others have done, but let us look at what sacrificing such feelings actually means. We may have a strong and possessive inclination to hold on to such feelings, but consider how we feel when we manage to let go of these. They do not benefit us. They make us miserable. And if we let go of them, we can feel happier and healthier. Is getting rid of the things that hold us back and make us unhappy really a sacrifice? In the long run, it is the true nature of all the sacrifices that the Lord calls upon us to make. It may seem sometimes that he is calling upon us to give up some of the things we hold most dear, and that we will not even feel fully ourselves if we lose such things. But the broken heart referred to in our text is only the heart of the proprium, our desires, our selfish desires. And the contrite spirit is only that of our unregenerate nature, the things that we think, which are illogical, irrational, and don't really benefit us or others. Proprium means what is our own. We may think of this as the same thing as self, but there is a difference. What we own, we may sell. We may divest ourselves of property. If we think of self in this way, then perhaps it's all right to call the proprium self. But if we believe our self to be our very being, our fundamental nature, who we are, then the proprium is not. self. It is not who we are. The program with which we are born is something that we can and in fact must get rid of. This is the life or soul that we must sacrifice or give up. If we think of proprium in terms of property, we can picture the property that we own from birth, perhaps as a stinking swampland, perhaps with some shack or some hovel on that ground. Seeing the picture in these terms, who would not want to follow the Lord's call to sell all that we have and to follow him? The hesitation only comes when we are under the illusion that the property we have by birth is rich or valuable. But to lose the life or soul that is attached to these things is to find our true life. The sacrifices that the Lord would have us make are not arbitrary acts of self-denial. And they don't really mean the surrender of anything that is truly valuable. The only things that the Lord wants us to sacrifice are those that are holding us back or weighing us down. It is only when we look backward with longing to the things that we seem to be losing that the sacrifices of God do feel like a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It is hard to let go of these things, but if we can look forward to the treasure in the field, to the pearl of great price, then we will happily sacrifice. We will gladly sell all that we have to buy the life that the Lord is offering us. Amen. And now to the only God be all glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.